No hate mana!
No hate mana! No gato in puna! Hulu de hina! Hulu de hina! Hulu de wailu! Hulu de fire! Hulu! So Christian mana! Ooh, manawa! Fatu manawa!
First, I thought that was pretty darn cool, but then as it continued, I felt the walls closing in, like something bad was going to happen. Folks, you're listening to the Goodnight Show with Diesel, Little Diesel, and Landon Lamigan, and I just want you to know that tonight we have a very special night and a very special guest.
Hello.
And as always, it's always a crapshoot about whether or not the guest who we scheduled is actually gonna call in. So we're hoping that we're gonna get a phone call tonight from a very special guest, and I don't want to say who it is until we actually have them call in and have them on the air, because then I don't want to get too excited and get you excited and think that we're gonna be talking to somebody very cool, which may not even be happening. But even if it doesn't happen, ladies and gentlemen, it's the holiday season, and we have all sorts of calamities happening nationwide across the country. We have HW laying in a coffin. We have Michael Cohen going to jail. We have President Trump doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And most importantly, it's the war on Christmas. So we're going to be doing all sorts of battling lately. Diesel, have you seen...
Are you kidding?
What was that name again?
Nah, you could go. Just go.
Are you kidding me?
L-I-T-T-L-E-T-R-I-B.
The Good Night Show with Little Triv on WREW-FM.
Sleep with somebody? Is it sexual? Is it just a sleeping?
I'm just sleeping. I don't even think he knew I was there, to be honest.
Because you don't think of him in a sexual way, do you?
No, I just think he's such a handful. I think he and I would really paint the town red.
Is he a handful in the bedroom?
He was a loud snorer, and he grunts a lot and slaps his elbows. He slaps his elbows really loud so you can hear it quite loudly throughout the night. He dreams of those dances he does.
Who is he? Can you tell the audience who is he?
Jason Momoa. Ladies
Why do
and
I
gentlemen,
sound like this?
You just sound a little robotic, but you always kind of do.
That's a little better.
That's all the same to me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and enjoying this show so far, my name is Landon Lamigan.
Lamigan.
This is Diesel. and we're talking about Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa is a big, tall actor with curved eyebrows, and he has long...
Scar. He's a big Lion King scar.
A Lion King scar across one eye. He's always smiling, and he has long, long hair. And do you like Jason Momoa, Diesel?
I don't know enough about him, Anakin. Can you just go move on?
He's a big person and a very famous actor. Jason Momoa is in a new movie coming out, and I don't know what the title is, but it's going to be a very wonderful movie. And Jason Momoa, he's always smiling and laughing and up to mischief and up to no good, and he always says stuff that gets him in trouble. And it was in the news recently, and usually I despise celebrities and what they get up to, but I thought this was awesome. So basically what happened is Jason Momoa is in a movie right now, and when he was filming that movie with his co-star, a very pretty blonde, the blonde, she was a bookworm. And so bookworm means that you read a lot of books, and you read them all the time, and when you're bored, you got to be looking at a book. So she was always at her lookbooks, and so she was doing stunts, she was doing movies, and she was doing scenes with Mr. Momoa. And Jason Momoa would get annoyed because he didn't want her to look at books. He wanted her to look at him. He wanted her to pay attention to him because he's a very cool guy. And he's very needy. So what do you do, Diesel? Can you guess what he did to get her attention?
I don't have a good guess, actually.
He would rip the pages out of her book. He would ruin her books. He would pee on them. He would say,
"That sounds like you."
Yeah, and he is very much like me. Diesel is very much like me. We're twin souls. Or wait, not Diesel, Jason Momoa. Yeah, so Landon Lamborghini is very much like Jason Momoa. I think the two of us would paint the town red. I think I could see us leaving a trail of bodies in our wake.
Just, you know, I love the idea of pure carnage. And I like what you said about a trail of bodies.
Thank you. I think, well, the thing about Jason Momoa is he's a seaman. He was born on the high seas in New Zealand, and he can make a boat from scratch. So he just has bare hands, build a boat from scratch, and we'll make a raft and go straight to Putin Bay. We don't even care what happens. We would just wreak so much havoc. It would just be a pile of rubble by the end of the weekend.
Lamigan, do you know our target audience? Old people.
Oh.
So let me play a clip. While I'm sounding like a guitar, that it just happened an hour ago, so please say what you need to say, but I'll just jump around and play the clip. And we're moving on from Jason Momoa.
Do whatever you think is right, but
I don't know what is right with me.
I was ready to be done talking about Jason Momoa.
Well, we're going to move on to the next thing then.
Is it Momoa or Malmoa?
There's an L.
Who'd have thunk? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are joined with a very special guest. He is a local small business owner and a restaurateur. This is the man who brought you the Fusion Food Fashion Bar, Yuzu, who has won Cleveland Scene's Best New Bar and Best Late Night Eats, Best Places to Drink, Thrillist Best Places to Drink Right Now, Cleveland.com's Best West Side Patio Finalist, and Best CLE Instagrams to Follow, and Cleveland's Best Bar Events Editor's Choice. Ladies and gentlemen, we have tonight General Manager of Yuzu in Lakewood, Ohio. It's Dave Bumba. Mr. Bumba, how are you feeling tonight?
Pretty normal.
Well, you're a bar owner, so that must make you a night owl?
I sure am. I go to bed very late, and I drink a lot, so that's part of the, you know, work description of the thing, so
What you love. What's your drink of choice?
You know what? All I drink is really crappy cheap beer, and so it's actually, like, really uninteresting.
So, to be honest, I like cheap, crappy beer, but if somebody pinned you down and hogtied you and said, pick a cocktail, what would you pick?
I like the idea of being hogtied for this. I would say, a regular cocktail. My answers are going to be so lame because they're going to go against, like, everything that's what's cool and current. Because all I would drink would just be like a dirty martini. And I feel it's not fashionable anymore.
You had me at dirty. Now, you...
A dirty hog tie.
Dirty hog tie with extra dirt. So, first of all, congratulations on your many awards. You are full of accolades. Well, and I was just wondering, what did you do to win the patio award?
I don't know if we actually... We're probably on the top of the patio. So all you have to do is basically have one. And then you have to, like, you know, make it look nice. And then people liking outside, it's, like, insatiable. It's, like, and it's kind of surprising, because in the neighborhood of Lakewood, I feel like there should be more patios. But there's only, like, you know, a handful. So it's a little bit supply and demand, and it's nice when to eat outside. Drinking outside, I'm a big fan of. So, you know, making it a little landscaping, a little aesthetic, you know, set the mood. And that's pretty much it.
So go ahead, Diesel.
This is Diesel, sorry, but my voice is startling to a lot of people. I wanted to ask about patios and dogs. I know that a lot of younger millennials bring their dogs to the patio, and I think it's very alarming and very offensive, and it actually ruins my meal when a little dog starts barking, or a big dog starts barking, and then they don't bring the bags to clean up after them when they do their business, and I just want you to know that I'm offended by dogs and patios, and I wanted to know what you do about it.
Well, that's a good point, because, you know, on the one hand, you have people that, they love their animals, you know, it's a very, especially in Lakewood, it's a very, like, you know, dog-friendly environment, but at the same time, I understand how maybe a guest may not be, it's kind of like, you know, when you have unruly children in a restaurant, it's the same thing. If your kid's pooping all over the place,
kick them
out. You know, causing a scene, yelling around and stuff, too. I could see how that could be offended to a diner who wants no part in that situation. So it's kind of the happy medium is keeping the dogs leashed and generally well-behaved. So also, like kids, the majority of dog owners know what to expect when they take their animals out. So, like, if your dog's not going to be good in the public setting, most of them don't want to risk the public you know, social embarrassment of the situation to unfold like that. Or they'll go during off-peak hours. They want to, like, you know, test the waters. So that's kind of where we're at.
Well, to be honest with you, I've been to patios in Lakewood and West Cleveland. I've been to patios where you had owners who were completely ignorant of their dog's behaviors. I saw them. They're biting, barking, snapping, and the owner's just sitting back drinking his cocktail.
I had a dog bite food off my plate. It just bit the food.
Well, that's just capitalism, and you can't fault that. Their country's built on it.
God bless them.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the same time, you're right. I mean, that's where it can go both ways. It's like a privilege, not a right. And it's a very gray area, too, with, like, even, like, the health departments and the state of Ohio, county board of health and everything, too. It's a very, just like it is, it's a very gray area. Well, like, I think they're trying to pass some sort of bill in the state to make it legal to bring your dog onto patios, but at the same time, I don't, it's all very vague, and it's loosely enforced, and so here we are. We're basically in, like, the Wild West to bring your pet to a restaurant.
That's very unlike the original Wild West. If I was out in, and I don't know what, a wild, dirty old, shanty saloon, old saloon, perhaps. And, you know, I had to worry about getting shot, and then somebody told me, hey, in 200 years, your biggest worry is going to be getting your dog taking food off your plate, I'd be like, okay, that's not too bad. Diesel, you were going to say something about the patio?
I have a 12-year-old German Shepherd, and he's not neutered, and I just can't see myself bringing him to a patio.
You don't have to bring a dog to Yuzu, right?
No, it's not required by any means. It's just, like, fashionable.
Okay. Actually, I have one more thing to say about the patio.
My dog is so, a 12-year-old German Shepherd, unneutered. There's nothing.
You're pretty much, that's
no
your
fashion
own,
there.
That's your own problem.
That's all my problem, and it's my responsibility, and I take that responsibility on every day. Lamigan, I will, you can go ahead.
Yeah, let me continue here. So I just wanted to say, so that when you are trying to, you're vying for this West Side Patio Award. It's not really like pageant season where you really try to dress it up. I don't know. I'm just fascinated by the patio award because I don't really have a patio. I don't even have a porch. It's more like a stoop. And I think when I sit out there, it just kind of scares people. I don't think they... I just want to know... Can I ask you something else that doesn't have to do with patios, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I'm also kind of interested in this uncircumcised dog or whatever you were talking about. And if you want to expand upon that, I'm also open to that. But feel free to move the dialogue along, yes?
Well, actually, since you said that, Diesel, you don't have him circumcised either.
Well, I guess he's not circumcised. I never had an operation, but he's not neutered. And he's kind of the kind of dog that's very mean and very mistreated by me. And I don't mean I abuse him. It's more neglect.
Okay, yeah. There's like an emotional damage and such.
There's a distance between the two.
I guess I just don't love the dog, and it's just more like a roommate.
Mr. Bumba,
yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you recently updated your menu to be strictly vegan.
Oh, it's coming. It's January 2nd. We're going all in on it.
That makes me a little nervous because I hear that word a lot and I don't know what it means.
It's kind of like, it's complicated. It's like you have to be, it's a certain kind of aesthetic. And here's my take, is that I feel like, you know, when you hear the word vegan, it connotates a lot of different reactions. And, you know, you got your stereotypical, like, you know, it's restrictive. It's the people who are very preachy and such stuff like that. Or, like, you know, you can't replicate, you know, the taste of certain foods you may crave. But I'm doing it because I feel very strongly about it because I feel like it's a big thing for next year. I think more and more you see a younger generation kind of aspiring to be like vegan as more of like, you know, like it's more of like an aesthetic than it is like a strictly dietary. Like they'll still eat stuff outside of that, but it's just like, you know, you want to strive to be. It's like you want to, you know, if you want to be healthy and exercise and things like that, you're not going to do it 7 days a week, but if you do it, like, you know, more often than not, you're already doing yourself better than if you didn't do it at all. So, and vegan foods come a long way. So it's kind of fun replicating recipes that, you know, are traditionally, like, would seem impossible to replicate. And by using foods that don't use any of the tricks of, like, meat or, like, bacon or, you know, like, cream, you know, butter, things like that. It's fun for people who are vegan because they are not used to having the option to eat things they may have used to have enjoyed, but also to people who are, you know, not necessarily subscribing to that lifestyle because they're like, oh, it tastes this close to the real deal. You know, it's kind of fun. It's a little healthier than maybe eating some processed, you know, garbage, you know, food from wherever. You know, so that's kind of what we're hoping to do. And we're going all in on it, so... You know, if it sucks, we'll go back. But I feel very strongly about it in the future, so that's my, like, two-minute speech on it.
Well,
Thank you for listening.
No, you're welcome, and I think that's actually very cool. And I think that a lot of people in Lakewood could use a little kick in the pants when it comes to things like that because they go to Melt, which I always think of as the only restaurant in Lakewood, and they just eat this big ball of cheese and think they're getting all this fine dining, sloppy drinking.
They think they're getting calcium too. There used to be calcium and cheese.
Yeah, they just take it all out. It's not even cheese anymore. It's just a big globby slime ball, and you're bringing it back to class, man, and I thank you. But I have to ask, isn't winter a time to warm up with just snuggly, cozy comfort food, like maybe something with meat in it?
Well, I'll tell you, there's two parts to that. One, also the New Year's time for New Year's resolution, so that's the time people want to live healthier lifestyles. They pack up the gyms and stuff. It's your chance. And number two, this is a great segue to the other restaurant that I own and operate, which is called Mad Max, and it's also in Lakewood, and it's a macaroni and cheese themed bar, and there's your comfort, meaty, cheesy. It's the opposite of vegan, but we do have vegan options there to make it full circle. So if you're feeling craving comfort food, go to Mad Max in Lakewood, and if you, you know, are going for the new year, new me, then use you Lakewood. I got you covered both ways.
So correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to say that a lot because I'm very often wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All vegan food is cold to the touch.
Yes, that's true. It's mostly like, have you ever had ice before? it's just like that, except worse.
Oh.
And like a lot of plant proteins. It's like it's the opposite of that. It's come a long way. Like I said, like the technology for vegan food used to be a fringe, counterculture, hippie, you know, weird, tofu, strange and not good. And in 2018, 2019, it's made leaps and bounds. So, you know, side by side, I think sometimes you'd be hard-pressed to tell if something contained meat or not meat at this point. Because the demand was there, and people found creative solutions for those things. It's leaps and bounds what it was. But when you think of your stereo, even like maybe like, you know, 5-6 years ago when people only had like a tiny little section at like Giant Eagle, like one little freezer and the whole giant space. So
their little chicken bites.
Yeah. Or like, you know, some sort of like, you know, tofu burger, you know, Morningstar, you know, that's all they had to work with. There's so little to work with, but now it's everywhere.
Delicious. Diesel, what were you going to say?
Well, I have two questions. My first question is more of a statement, but Bill Clinton is a vegan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why he's so skinny. And the second question is, you own Mad Max, you own Yuzu, and you also own Bomba Tacos in Rocky River?
See, Bomba Tacos was kind of a fallout. They wouldn't pay for the U in my name, and so we went to court for a long time, and, you know, it is what it is.
So it's a letter. So, it was a letter discrepancy.
It was a discrepancy. I would call it that.
That is the problem with our country today. You take one, and it's not even a letter. I would say that U is half of the letter O. It's the bottom half.
That's a good point, and that's what our lawyers used a lot, but it didn't hold up in Supreme Court. So,
well, I commend you for doing your best to just get your life back, to get your name. But I gotta ask you something here. I could not have you on the show without mentioning your famous Facebook events. Now, I've seen these all over Facebook. Do they also actually happen, or do they just show up on Facebook? Stuff like trivia and trivia and theme nights. Yuzu is the name that I see again and again. And I have to admit, I've never been to one because I don't really engage with my peers very often. But I do think they look very cool, and I'd like to know if A, they're real, and B, maybe what are some cool ones you have coming up?
Oh, they're most definitely real. If there's like something that's too... There's very few far in between that are like jokey, but like 98% happen. And, you know, we do a wide range. I mean, like some that we've had in the past, like, you know, I've been very like wall to wall, and some are like a little more like laid back, but like, we just did like a co-current office trivia league, which is insatiable, by the way. People should open an office themed bar because you'd be busy all the time. They love that show very much. And we did a whole, like, league. We did a whole, like, you know, we did, like, 1 week, one season thing at both bars concurrently. And, like, the top teams of the whole season, you know, the whole run, won these big cash prizes. And we actually did, instead of having it at one of the bars, we went to the Chili's in North Olmsted to do, like, the Dundee Awards for the winners. So that was fun. And the follow-up to that is next in January, on Tuesdays, we're doing a Parks and Recs theme one. So it's the same thing, like 6 weeks of, you know, one per season, and then, like, we do, you know, an award thing at the end, which will be, like, a treat-yourself situation. We're doing, like, a Mean Girls Christmas party, which is always popular. People love Mean Girls. I enjoy Mean Girls, quite honestly.
Do the women dress up like the Barley House? Do you,
it's more like wearing pink and less like, you know, stink. And then, like, you know, so themes like that we do pretty often, and they're fun. And I always thought, too, when we had the bar, that I felt like there was a need for more. Like, people love themes. People love going to, like, you know, parties with themes. And, like, I didn't see a whole lot of that in Cleveland or the Cleveland area. So I'm like, well, let's try some theme things. And people really responded well to them. So, you know, it's fun, and why not, you know? It's fun.
I think that I went to the bowling alley down the street, Mayhalls, and I walked in. They had a theme night. It felt like I was just walking into some big dirty closet. There was nothing to do. There were the bar took forever. There was nothing to look at, nothing to think about. But you have very specific themes for your events, and I think that is wonderful. And I was wondering if you would like to play a quick little game with me and Diesel about your own restaurant, Yuzu.
Yeah, you know what? I'd be happy to.
Okay.
And also, if you think of anything between now and this game of a theme night that you'd like to see, I'd be very interested, because some of the themes do come from customers and, you know, outside influence. So think about that while this game is...
Oh, I would think about it, but nothing I would like to do would be legal. I think that I would like me. This is just gonna sound bad, but maybe like a sadistic night, like a sadism night. I don't know if people would go.
Will the 12-year-old German Shepherd be there?
Yeah, he'll be the guest of honor, and we'll get him all. We'll get him. Make sure he's really hungry before the. The event starts.
Whoever he doesn't bite will get a free bar tab.
I like that, Diesel.
It'll be a pretty bloody night.
So here's how the game works. So Mr. Bumba, I'm gonna pick an item from your menu, and I got this from your website, and I have to admit, if this is outdated, and this goes for listeners as well, it's because I have a very old iPad. And I use the iPad for everything. And I use gloves when I use the iPad. I have these special touch gloves because I don't want the government to pick up my fingerprint. So I use a special iPad glove. So I don't always get the website right. So So let's ignore what I just said and let's play the game. These are the rules.
I like special gloves.
Especially the touch gloves. You can still touch things with them. So anyway, so I'm going to pick an item from your menu. I'm just going to say the name. Diesel is going to guess what it is, and then you have to tell us if he's right or wrong, and then reveal what that item really is.
Sure. Let's give it a go.
Okay, so the first item is Yakitori Flight. Diesel, what's Yakitori Flight?
Well, flight is definitely bird, and Yakitori is definitely Japanese, so I'm going to say it's a shot dead wild bird. Japanese breed. Shot dead and plucked and then grilled, maybe.
Mr. Bumba, is he correct?
It's that, but vegan. So you're pretty close.
It's vegan?
So it's just the feathers?
No. It's a yakitori flight. What we did a lot, yakitori is just like, it's skewered meats pretty much with like a marinade over like an open flame, like on a grill. They use like a Roboto grill and like other parts, you know, like a charcoal, but we use like an open flame. So it's a variety pack of different meats on a stick.
Well, that's what I hate about. Oh, I don't mean to disparage what you just said, but some of the pizza that they make lately just tastes like a cracker. The kind of pizza they put on the fire grill.
We're talking about like flatbreads, which aren't really pizzas, and I don't appreciate.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like jumping on the pizza game.
It's like a cheesy cracker.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your
honesty.
It's like a hipster pizza, and I don't enjoy it. Flatbread.
I can't stand hipsters walking in with their big hats. Okay, Diesel, here's the next one. Little India. What's Little India, Diesel? Or what do you think it is?
In today's society, it could really mean anything, because I don't know what to say here. I'm a little Indian. I just think of the cupboard.
You think it's a
little Indian in the cupboard.
Yes.
But this is actually like a Pakistani rapper who comes out and just serenades you. You know, it's $8.50. That's what it is.
It costs $8.50 to watch the performance.
Can you say Pakistani on the radio?
It's gluten free.
Huh. Well, that's shockingly simple, and I think I might have to stop by and catch one of those little Indias. All right, the next one. Vegan. So brace yourselves. It's vegan. Vegan poke bowl. Poke bowl, Diesel.
Well, it's probably got a lot of food in it. A big bowl, I would imagine. You know, when I make a big bowl of food, I poked to eat it. Like I used my finger like a little fork. And before I started using forks, I would just use a poke, and which was my finger. I would call my finger a poke because of how I used them. But really, I think that this meal is probably just a big bowl of some kind of pudding flavor, and with the little holes in the bottom, you poke the holes in the bottom of the bowl to, and then you drink out of the holes when it comes pouring out of the holes.
Does that make sense, Mr. Bumbo?
I mean, my original vision planned for that, but at the same time, it's not conducive to a food service environment. So, and actually, I feel like you combine, it's weird because I feel like you combine two things that are on my menu, but at the same time, you've also, like, inadvertently, like, spoiler alerted my new menu. Because I think it used to be a sushi poke bowl and then vegan korma. But there's going to be a vegan poke bowl new menu. So if anything,
so I just
I'm
made
pretty sure you're from
up.
The future, and you're time copying me right now. And so this interview's already happened, so you know what I'm going to say next.
I do know what you're going to say next, and I do want to say really quickly that what I like about you, Mr. Bumba, and your restaurant ethic is that you're not a restaurant these days. They're too afraid to get messy. And I think it's brave of you to serve bowls with holes in them, because like you can, the waiter walks through the restaurant with just sauce dripping off of the plate. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's
like a timed game. It's like perfection.
It's like finally.
And there's a big difference between you and other restaurant owners we've interviewed, because you seem like you're alone. And we interviewed the owner of Town Hall, and there were just lock her up chants in the background the entire time. We could barely hear what he was saying.
Well, you know, everyone has a different story, so you know, not one size fits all. But thank you for the sentiment. I do have time for one more, if you want to do one more.
Okay.
Before I have to pretend to be busy.
Yes, I'm so sorry. We're going to do one more, and this is called Blueberry Yum Yum. Deezer, what's Blueberry Yum Yum?
Actually, for the first time in many years, at a loss for words, because it sounds so stupid. No offense, I just hate saying it. I just don't want to even.
Well, how about you just say it, and then we'll have Mr. Bumba tell us what it is.
Okay, this is kind of mostly the battle, but okay. Blueberry Yum Yum.
Okay, Mr. Bumba, what is Blueberry Yum Yum?
It's named after like a 12-year-old, like really like, you know, sexy German Shepherd that once bit me on the patio. And
that's adorable.
It's not marijuana. It's actually simply a drink of a blueberry vodka and sparkling rosé lemonade.
Oh, millennials go nutty over that rosé, don't they?
They sure do. They're always like rosé this, you know. Yeah, you know, life doesn't matter that. I get it.
Yeah. So, Mr. Bumba, we got to wrap it up with you because you have a very busy restaurant, and I would just like to know, what are you most excited about going forward with Yuzu, Mad Max, and Bamba Tacos? I'm sorry, just the first two.
Well, I'm excited for the vegan future because it's risky, because you are going to isolate people, but at the same time, it's like a challenge. The vegan thing, I'm all in on. So Yuzu, that's for that for sure, 100% all in vegan. And that's what I look forward to in 2019. It's like, it's a challenge of you to just convince people that this is a good idea and please don't hate me. And then Mad Max, I mean, it's a classic comfort food. You know, it's run by a mother-daughter team. It's very like, the hospitality there is incredible. And so that is like, it's like, you know, if you have a family that loves you, just go there and it's going to be a great time. And then Bamba's Tacos, you know, if it catches on fire, you know, who's to say how it started?
Thank you. And Mr. Dave, we would love to let you go right now, but we actually have a caller on the air that would like to ask you a quick question, if that's okay.
Yes, if it's quick, yeah.
Very quick, caller. Make it snappy.
Hello?
Make it snappy.
Hi, I'm Shelly.
This is Dave, the owner of Bamba's Tacos and other Bombos-related emporium.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
I'm a weekly listener.
Okay.
I wanted to call to say that I heard a rumor at school that the E. coli outbreak in romaine lettuce was actually an infection caused by none other than Terry Schiavo.
Oh, that seems like a dated reference, but it's okay. True.
Okay, wait
a
second.
It's 100%
true. This is very intriguing to me personally, but Mr. Bumba, you're probably... I think it's time.
The CDC did write something on Wikipedia, I believe, that did correlate the two together. I'm not a doctor or a scientist. I can barely operate this restaurant.
You're a restaurant.
My opinion might not be accurate.
Oh, Mr.
I'm
Bumba.
I'm going to agree with the caller.
Okay, Mr. Bumba, we're going to let you go and keep this intriguing caller on the air if you don't mind.
Mr. Bumba, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
I appreciate it very much.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
Evening, and I hope to see you very shortly at one of the two restaurants that I may operate in the next year if I'm not sued out of existence.
What? That would be excellent if you could stay existing. But thank you so much and have a wonderful midnight.
And Christmas.
Okay. Caller, did you say your name was Kiki?
Shelly?
Shelly, I think that was very shocking that you called at that moment. And I wanted to thank you. Because I was wondering, too, about that lettuce. Because lettuce is my favorite food because it's so crunchy and nutritious and it tastes like nothing. So I was very offended that it was illegal for a short time. And so you think it has something to do with Miss Schiavo?
I do. I think it was the Terry Schiavo crystal.
Oh, that's funny because the only thing I know about Terry Schiavo is the crystal with her name. So we're going to see... I don't know. Diesel's doing a quick web search to see if he can figure out anything about that statement. But did you get sick, Shelly, from that lettuce? Did you get sick?
I think I got sick from the lettuce.
Okay. Did you have to go to the hospital?
I didn't have to go to the hospital, but I was sick in bed for a few days.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You probably had to use up all your sick time at work.
I did.
Know about the crystal. That Terry Schiavo crystal. The dirty, dirty, dirty fucking Christmas little crystal.
I knew Christmas had something to do with this. Shelly, do you celebrate Christmas? Please say yes, please say yes, please say yes.
I do for sure.
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas.
It's the C word.
Merry Christmas.
Wait, before you say that word. Shelly, would you like to say the C word on the air?
Go on.
Cunt?
No.
It's Christmas. He was being facetious because these days people like us can't say Merry Christmas without being, without the forces of hell descending upon us. So he was facetiously referring to Christmas as the C word. So when he told you to say the C word, you nervously said the worst cuss word in the English language. But that's okay. Do you feel bad?
I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I meant Christmas.
It's a very easy mistake
to make. Well, Shelly, Merry Christmas, and thank you for saying that four-letter little word that I think about all the time.
It always makes me sit up straight when I hear that word. It's just so abrupt and scary.
It gives me the goosebumps that the four-letter one Christmas does, too.
Shelly, did you hear any...
I know about the crystal. That Terry Schiavo crystal. The dirty, dirty, dirty fucking Christmas little crystal.
Shelly, did you hear any of the interview with Mr. Dave Bumba?
Oh, no, I missed it.
I think everyone did. He was very lighthearted, but I think I wanted him to be honest, and I felt that he was dishonest. Did you feel that way, Diesel?
I felt that he wasn't who I wanted him to be.
The type of person I like on this show is someone who isn't in on the joke. and he was trying to be
the joke.
The joke.
It was like Dane Cook hanging out with Chris Rock and Louis C.K.
And you know who felt like the butt of the joke? Me.
Shirley, do you like Dane Cook?
I'm not actually sure who he is.
You need to go and do some research. He is... just...
Diesel, you're having
I know about the crystal. That Terry Schiavo crystal. The dirty, dirty, dirty fucking Christmas little crystal.
Shelly, one more thing and then we're going to have to take a break here, okay?
Okay.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
What was that?
Merry Christmas. Did you hear me? Christmas. Don't be afraid of the word. It's just honest.
She yips whenever you say the word.
No, I know. It's very jarring to people these days, but I'm saying it. I'm not afraid to say it. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you.
Hunt.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Did I ever tell you about my old dog?
Tonight was the first time you actually spoke up about it.
Well, because like I said, he's more like a roommate.
Well, he walks on his hind legs, right?
Well, that's because he's always leaning over the table. There's not really enough room because I'm kind of a hoarder. There's not enough room in my kitchen with all this stuff
that I have lodged in,
so he kind of has to stand up on his hind legs because it's the only way he can fit.
See, I would feed him my leftovers if I had a dog. He would just eat on my leftovers.
He eats everything in the house. You know when you go to McDonald's, they give you those drink holders?
The brown ones?
Yeah, the brown four. They carry four drinks in them.
Yep.
Well, he eats those lamb again for...
I had a cat. I had a feral cat once, and it ate my case of beer.
The cardboard or the beer
the
inside?
The can, the beer inside, the cardboard. It's almost like I never even bought the thing.
Wow, lamb again. Even the little tabs on top of the beer.
Even the little tabs on top of the beer.
Did you know if you collect those, the schools, local schools will give you cents on the dollar?
No, they'll give you money. And you
That's
have to
like
give,
crack
you
cocaine.
Have to,
if you go, it's like crack cocaine for the Board of Education.
I don't know what it is they like about those, but you walk in, you have to talk to the secretary, and you have to be very firm and maybe a little aggressive in your tone, and she'll cough up the change real fast.
And you just wag that bag. If you have a bag, excuse me, if you have a bag full of those beer can tabs, and you just shake it in front of a superintendent from a school, if you shake it in front of their face, and
they would drop to their knees and cough up that money.
Please. I think they can just feel for the weight how much it's worth in metal. I think it's some kind of metal that they like.
What's the biggest loot you ever got?
I had one principal get down on his stomach, flip over on his back like a, you know, we were talking about dogs. It's like a dog.
Like a little puppy.
Yeah, like a little puppy dog scared of the big dog. And I was the big dog and he was the puppy dog. He laid on his back, showed me his belly to see if it was... It was exactly
did
what
you... give
your...
him a little scratchy?
Lambigan, I did everything you could think of possible to disrespect this man as he was on the ground. And he gave me about $50 for my I had about two bags.
That's so good. That's a whole dinner.
Garbage bags full, yeah, and I took myself out to dinner.
Congratulations. I mean, I don't call it loot. I like to call it boon. So do you know what my boon was?
No.
The highest boon I ever got from tabs.
Why do you call it boon?
You ever gain a boon? So it's getting a boon is a word for gaining a plentiful amount of a positive thing. So when I get a boon, it's usually money, and the biggest boon I ever got from can tabs was probably at $30. So you got some on me. You got some on me.
I had more, and I got more money out of it than
you. You got more money than me. How much money do you got total?
You know I live day to day. We get paid for this radio show very little, and you get paid the least.
I know tonight I'm going to go home with nothing in my pocket.
I think you make $5 an hour, but with after tax and everything.
Well, the past 2 years, I've actually, I get a paycheck, but it says 0.00.
Or that's actually offensive because it should be negative. You should owe because...
What a paper's worth something. It's good paper.
It's good to have the paper. What do you do with the pay stubs?
Well, sometimes the blank side in the back, I'll put like a 500 in the corner, each corner, and then draw an old president in the middle. And I'll try to pretend like it's a big expensive dollar bill.
Do you know Seth, who sometimes is the... One of the co-hosts on the show who doesn't show up a whole hell of a lot.
I remember him.
And he kind of got messed up after he got sentenced to large labor in North Korea. For those who have not been following along, he gets paid $150 an episode.
Yeah. Well,
did you know that, Lamigan?
No, I didn't. And so why doesn't he ever come on anymore? He's making big bucks.
Exactly, so he doesn't need to come on as much. He budgets it out.
He's probably scared I'm going to kill him if I found out.
Oh, I think he knows you're going to kick his ass. Lamigan, I think he knows you're going to kick his ass.
I think he knows that.
Have you ever beat ass?
Have I ever beat ass? Well,
he's beat somebody's ass.
The thing about me is I'm not strong, I'm not skilled, but I have no limits. And I have no moral restrictions. And I will just let loose. That's why people are afraid of me. I actually have a pretty scary appearance. Not scary like intimidating, but scary like not of this earth.
Over and out. It's about the end of the show. I don't know how else to end it, but with a prayer.
Well, my prayer tonight is, if I may, if I might, God, if you're listening to Landon Lamigan tonight, my prayer is, let me talk to my old friend Lawrence Millman once more. Old listeners of the show will recognize Lauren Millman as the owner of Hissing Cockroaches, who hates computers and investigates murder. He is a very dear friend of mine, and I haven't spoke to him in about a year.
Let him be okay, because he gets lost in the Arctic.
Yeah, Lord, let him be okay.
And Lord God of America, guide President Trump with your eye and order his steps.
Lord God, with your great eye, please guide President Trump.
Give him the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak. Give him the gift of the watchman, the ability to hear your voice and to see into the spiritual realm. Guide President Trump with your counsel, and afterward you will receive
good night,
him to glory. May your world be a lamp to President Trump, and let your right hand hold him. President Trump's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his legs. This also comes from the Lord of talk show hosts, who is wonderful in counsel in that way. Walk in it. Whenever he turns the right hand or whenever he turns to the left and does a little dance, Lord God of America, you will lead President Trump and Melania Trump in pants they have not worn. You, President Trump, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord his God who teaches the man to walk and satisfy his soul in drought and strengthen his bones, make President Trump like a watered-down version of his enemies, strategies, counsels, or weapons which will not be revealed to President Trump and Mad Dog Mattis. The hidden things will be known to him, including the plans in which his nation will prosper and secure all things. No word against spoken against the United States of evil shall prosper. Every plot formulated within Melania Trump's hearts of men should disrupt the security of this nation through manipulation of terrorist attack in America, and shall that be cast down. Lord God of America, President Trump, the Father of Glory, give to President Trump the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of your Christ. Jesus, become for President Trump wisdom from God, righteousness, all to righteousness, sanctification and sacrificial as watchmen. We declare the power of the cross and the blood of Donald Trump, his house and his authority under all his men.